Amen. Good Sunday morning to you. We appreciate you listening to the program once again this morning. We thank the Lord for what the Lord's been doing. We've been excited about this new year starting, and we're looking forward to doing more for the Lord in 2010. And we thank God that we had a good conference this past week, and it was a real blessing to have Brother Tony Hudson with us for two nights, and the singers that came and sung. It was just all good, and we appreciate what the Lord did for us in those two nights last week, and we're just excited about what the Lord's going to do for us this year. And we hope you enjoyed that first song. Again, that was we'll play a couple more songs by the choir from Brother Tony's church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Middle Tennessee Baptist Church, and that first song was My Hope's in the Blood. And the next song we're going to play, it's Still Blessed. And amen. Thank God for his blessings and his goodness. We can look forward to what the Lord has in store for us in this year. And just the second Sunday here coming into 2010. And we don't know what is in store in the days ahead. But we know God's still on the throne. And we know the Lord's still able to help us and lead us and guide us in these days. And I trust that if you don't know him as your personal Savior, you'd make things right with the Lord and even get saved today. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. One of these days it's going to be too late. But we pray that you just obey the Lord. And if you are saved, you'd do more for the Lord and live for God and draw close to him in these last days the Lord's given us. But we hope you enjoy the songs this morning. And then we're going to go to a message that Brother Tony preached on Tuesday night. And we hope this will be a blessing to you. He preached a message about Timothy and the exhortation that Paul gave to Timothy, or out of Timothy there. And the title of the message was Foolproof Ministry. And we hope this is a blessing to you and encouragement to your heart this morning. Amen. Well, we'll go to the next song and then to the message. We hope you have a good day in the Lord. Together round our table.
when Paul writes this final words, his last words, and the last words of any man ought to be remembered words, especially when they're divinely inspired words. When my daddy was dying, March the 5th, 1995, my sister was conscious enough of those last 2 days, Brother Tuggle, that she put a tape recorder by his bed. And for 24 hours, we recorded everything my daddy said. And then she put more tapes in and went ahead for 2 days, 48 hours worth of his last words. And those are valued words to me. He preached one time for 24 hours, just sermon after sermon. Just, I'm talking about just preach outlines. And he'd stop and take a breath and get a drink of water and preach another. And I got to helping him. I said, God bless you. He said, hush, boy, and you'll learn something. And he just kept on preaching. And those are valued words to me. Those are precious words. Well, here's the final words of Paul the Apostle. You understand the final words of the man who writes over half the New Testament, who God used to pen over half the... These are the last words. The theologians say that the Roman guard is sharpening an axe. He's going to be beheaded at the conclusion of 2 Timothy chapter 4. The last things he writes from the prison cells. And he says in this passage, I'm interested, he said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And by the way, that's two different events. That's about 7 years apart from each other. He said, preach the word and be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Let me say that was a prophetic word. Not a pathetic word, a prophetic word. The time will come, the time has come. Yes, sir. Yeah. When they ought to endure sound doctrine, but they want those ears scratched. Yes, sir, make me feel good. Right. And that's where we live today, a day of teachers. They've heaped to themselves teach having itching, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, like global warming. My hind leg, bless God. Amen. You got to be brain dead to believe in something that stupid. And what could we do about it anyway? You can quit smoking all you want to. It ain't about it. As cold as it is right now, I bought me 3 or 4 extra aerosol cans. I'm just spraying it around trying to stay warm. Say amen. Got a carbon footprint. That's a bunch of hogwash, bless God. That's for the same people that believe wrestling's real. Amen. Fables, made up things like Islam. Bunch of Islam. That's a bunch of made up junk. Allah and Buddhism. That's a bunch of false, made up junk. But they've heaped to themselves, even in the churches, they've been turned to fables. You know, like if you don't talk in tongues, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. And a bunch of made up stuff. Says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Now notice these words, the last words of Paul, make full proof of thy ministry. Our Heavenly Father, I need your touch tonight. And I'm encouraged by this quartet saying its old time flavor, how my heart's stirred. I'm reminded of my youth and I'm recommitted to my future as I hear them saying, that's what I want to be. I won't identify with that crowd. That's where I try to trot in the old paths. Now, God, tonight we stand where flesh has failed me and will fail me. And I realize all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And my body's limited. My voice is weakened. I pray you'd touch me physically. And then, Lord, I pray you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I yield myself to you. I'd rather not speak after the tangible presence of God, the good manifestation of our Holy Ghost, than to speak and to waste the time of these good people on this cold winter's night. So I pray right now you'd prepare the heart of the listener. And I pray that this incorruptible seed, the written word of God, would fall on the good ground of the heart. And I'm asking you that though the crowd may be small, I pray God Almighty that big things would be accomplished tonight. I'm talking about God, spiritual things, and everlasting business would be accomplished tonight. And Lord, if it's in just one young preacher's life or one aged, white-haired saint who's contemplating throwing in the towel, I pray tonight would be a night of revival for them. Now, God, help us and use us, for we ask it in the blessed name of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, our Lord and Savior, soon coming King, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to draw your attention to that phrase found in verse number 5, make foolproof thy ministry. Now, let me just say by way of introduction, this is not an option. This is given by inspiration of God. And he's talking about a foolproof ministry. I'm a King James only man, you understand? I mean, honest, I thank God for the original text, but I can't read Greek or Hebrew. And I'm not going to waste my time this long in age. God's preserved his word in English. You know, they talk about dual inspiration and make some big deal out of that as if he couldn't have come down the third time. He already came twice. He came in Hebrew and gave it in Hebrew, and then he came and gave it in Greek. Don't get nervous. Is everybody okay? If you've got a King James, you've got God's word. No dispensation's going to tie God up like he's some kind of, he's an omnipresent God. He always is. And I praise God. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so you hold within your hands the word of God. But as I look at this, they tell me, the students of the Bible and the ancient languages say, that foolproof gives a picture of a wagon wheel with all the spokes in place. Not one spoke missing. As I am traveling, the Lord's opened doors for me, I'm seeing a lot of lopsided ministries. A lot of incomplete ministries. I believe an appropriate word would be an unbalanced work. You get in a wagon, the old wooden spoke wagons, iron-tired wagons, and if a spoke was missing, I'm telling you the ride was rough. I mean, it'd shake some of the corn out of the bed if it was a spoke missing. Everything had to be, you get in a car today with a tire out around or a wheel out around, not balanced, it'll shake your teeth out. I watched a truck coming up the road over here in a lane, the middle lane, and I'm telling you that steering wheel was shaking at front end. That wheel was out of line. It was out of balance, and it was affecting the trip. Let me say, these incomplete ministries are affecting the trip. Amen. We're going somewhere one day. Amen. And I want to go there with high speed of God, with the blessing of God. I don't want to be shimmying on the front end and lacking the spokes. Had the Bible said, God bless your heart, to make foolproof your ministry. I'm talking about an intact ministry. Man, a day of specialization. We're living there today. I used to go to the doctor, and I'm not as old as some of you, though I may look it, but I used to go to the doctor, and one doctor did it all. I mean, now I go to my primary doctor, they say my family doctor, and I say my throat's bothering me. He'll say, well, let me recommend you to an ear, nose, and throat specialist. Then I get to the throat specialist, he said, well, that's not really my expertise. I'm more of an ear doctor. I want to send you to Dr. So-and-so. Somebody else, go to somebody else. You know, our churches are becoming of that flavor. We specialize. I know over here in North Carolina, you know, in western North Carolina mountains, they specialize in singing, you know. Hey, look up in here, it's preaching time. Now, we from a singing church, and we sang, bless God, and we shouted out, and we worship, and now we old time, we sang, now, bless God, I like it. But that's one spoke in the wheel. You ain't got, hey, look, don't bow up on me this early in this message. If you don't think I like it, come on down. We got some good music at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church. Red book only, amen. I'm telling you, old time religion and the old time way. I guarantee I'm for it, but that's one dimension. That's one of the proofs. And then you got a crowd that they're hyper spiritual, better than you. Well, now we're a soul winning church. Now, I'm for aggressive personal evangelism. The only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to the Great Commission. You can say anything you want to, turn it around. You don't like that word soul winning. That just shows your level of spirituality. The Bible said the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is, that's Bible oracles. Amen. I know you're too spiritual. That's what the Bible says. He that winneth souls is wise. I don't know what yours says, but my King James says he that winneth souls is wise. And I could quote with the help of God many scriptures along the lines, and maybe we'll deal with it a little further in this message. But there's that pridefulness of, well, we're a soul winning church. And then you got that deeper life crowd. You know, now, you know, we dive deeper for theological perils. I know that old crowd that you know, that every smart person I know about is half boring. Somebody say amen. Most brains I know, they go down deeper and come up drier. Somebody help me. Dead as a hammer. Thrice dead, plucked up by the roots. Ain't got enough fire to warm a chigger's feet. Somebody say amen. And I mean no touch of God on them, but I had a fellow in a fellowship meeting not long ago said, now, Brother Hudson, we heard you're an evangelistic church. I said, well, we try to win souls. Y'all go out there and knock on doors. I said, well, we try to, in compliance with Acts 5:42. And he said, well, why don't you win them and we'll teach them? I said, over my dead body. You win yours and teach yours. We'll win ours and teach ours. Somebody say amen. But they specialize. Nowadays, it's a counseling ministry. Now we have our church. We counsel. Now, thank God for teachers. He gave some teachers. But now look up in here. I don't counsel at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church. I pastored for 21 years. I don't counsel. Unless somebody come, if you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you won't need a lot of pampering. All counsel is a bunch of psychobabble that we've gotten from the Word of God. Preaching's what cures the problems. When the world in its wisdom knew not God, had pleased God through the foolishness of counseling. It pleased God through the foolishness of some kind of a office visit. No, it didn't please God with a bunch of psycho talk, and I was abused as a child, and all that bunch of whining going on. When the world in its wisdom knew not God, had pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Hey, old time Holy Ghost unctionized preaching has always worked, and it always will work. It'll solve your problems. I believe a lot of that's a sidetrack of the devil. All that, but we're a counseling ministry. You come, I guarantee you come sit on the preach, you'll get some help. Amen. That crowd just wants to talk bad about their husband, that's all. They want to whine about their wife. Look up in here, it's preaching time now. We specialize. We have a lot of these, and then the Christian education become a specialty. Amen. I'm telling you, that's become a special. That's become the dog that wags the tail that the church has become. Hey, he said, upon this rock, I'll build my Christian school. Y'all getting quiet now, bless God. Upon this rock, I'll build my homeschool organization. No, upon this rock, I'll build my church. It's about church, friend. Let me help you keep the main thing the main thing. Let me say that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Amen, friend. But we become specialists. I go to churches to preach meetings. It makes me want to vomit. Half the announcements is about some bake sale the senior class is having. They take 30 minutes to talk about, now the juniors are going to do this and we got to raise money for the school, and God help, I didn't come for that. Somebody help me. Amen. Don't get mad, it's preaching time. I thought this, I got retired people, they sit back here, I done raised my family. I want to hear something about Jesus for a little bit. Amen. It's about church business, friend. I'm a church man. Amen. I'm from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I'm a church. I got saved in a church. Hey, I got baptized in a church. Everything I know about the Bible, I learned in church. I met my wife in church. I tell you, thank God for the church. At the God, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, bought and paid for with his own blood. Don't undermine the church. With all this excess baggage and extracurricular activity. No wonder we can't go soul winning. We got Christian Basketball League one night. Amen. Got to go to three nights a week of ball games. Can't have a week revival. Ain't nobody has a week revival anymore. Amen. This, don't bow your head. I'm not ready to pray right now. Bless God. Look up in here. Hey, I'm talking about, and we're living in a day where the specialists have moved in. But I want to preach a little while with God's help on Foolproof Ministries. With God Almighty's help, I determined at Middle Tennessee Baptist Church, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, we're going to put a spoke in every single hole. I mean, friend, I don't want a rough ride along the way. Foolproof. You say, well, how does the Bible say about a foolproof ministry? I believe this text reveals to us the elements, the ingredients to a foolproof ministry. Notice, first of all, in verse 1, I'm going to hurry, we'll be through. The Bible said, I charge thee therefore before Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, it is appearing in his kingdom. I believe a foolproof ministry, and I believe it's chronologically in order, and I believe it's in order as in the importance as God Almighty would breathe it and Paul the Apostle would pen it. He said the first thing about a foolproof ministry is they're excited about the second coming. I've never heard such winds of doctrine in these last days that have blown in. Amen. You're looking at a pre-tribulation rapturist. Now, y'all can be what y'all can be y'all can be post. You're looking at a pre right here. I believe with all my heart, Revelations 4:1, and I saw a door open in heaven, and the voices that were the sound of a trumpet talking to me, saying, come up hither. Jesus is coming again. Let not your hearts be troubled. That's good for everything. Hey, look, you don't have to wait on John 14 for a funeral. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If in my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus is coming again. We ought not be second guessing now all this mid-trib, look up in here, false doctrine. Hey, you can hang around for 3.5. You can endure all 7. I'm pulling out on the first load, bless God. I tell you what, he said them Thessalonians were second guessing it. They're rubbing their hands as they walked by the tombstones of their loved ones. And the Holy Ghost said, Paul, write this one down. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. Because we got a hope, Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus. He said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That messes up a whole lot of religious people. By the way, you don't have to shout to be right with God, but if you're right with God, you won't mind if somebody else does. Amen. With a shout, the trump of God, the voice of archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. The Bible says in the last verse, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, I don't find any comfort in having to endure 7 years of tribulation, refuse the mark of the beast, and be beheaded. What comfort do you find in having to endure 7 years of tribulation, refuse the mark of the beast, and get your head cut off to make it? I find no comfort in it. I don't find any comfort in that 3.5 years. That first, that little old what they talk about hadn't got bad enough yet. I tell you where I feel comfort. And I saw a door open in heaven. And the voices that were the sound of a trumpet talking to me saying, come up hither. Oh, granddaddy's going to lose her pull one day. Amen. This rope of flesh shall drop and rise, and we'll seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. We pulling out one day, friend. Hey, that's not just a figment of our imagination. I believe it's the starting place. I'm telling you, I believe it's a seed bed for a foolproof ministry. Amen, right there. I'm telling you, it brings joy to the heart of the way. I'm telling you, for the weary saint. It brings judgment to the heart of the wayward saint. Amen. It brings justice to the heart of a wounded saint. In these last days, I say to you, let's refocus again preaching. When I was growing up in the 70s as a young boy on the radio, I'm telling you, M.R. DeHaan and Oliver B. Green, they preached about Jesus coming again. You turn it on, Jesus is coming. Everything about it, you don't hear much about it anymore. It's where is the promise of his coming. I can't stay here long. I just want to say a foolproof ministry. Spoke number 1, I believe, is an excitement about the second coming. We ought to rehearse his coming. We ought to rejoice in his coming. Amen. We ought to recite his coming. He's coming again. Most of the songs we sing in that church hymnal is about his coming. 199, where the soul never dies. 105, how beautiful heaven must be. Page 14, I meet you in the morning. It's about leaving here, bless God. At page, when Jesus comes in the clouds. It's about Jesus coming again. I want to say a foolproof ministry. Hey, it starts with an excitement about the second coming.
You've been listening to the Gospel Way broadcast heard here on WCSL. We can see that our time has come and gone again this week, but we appreciate those of you who've gotten up this early hour to tune in to the Gospel Way broadcast. May God bless you from doing that. We would like to extend a cordial invitation to you and your family to join us for worship at the Gospel Way Baptist Church. We're located on Highway 274 South. As you leave the city of Cherville, right at the city limit sign, our church will be on the left-hand side of the road. Our Bible school starts each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, teaching out of the King James Version of the Bible. Around 11 o'clock, our choir begins to sing, and then after that, an old-fashioned message is brought from God's Word by our pastor, Reverend Keith Lindsay. Our Sunday night service starts at 6 p.m., old-time singing and preaching, and then back again on Wednesday night for the midweek prayer service. We hope that you'd come and join us for one of these given services, and what a blessing it would be for us to see you. So until next week, at the same time, on the same station, preaching the same gospel, this is Pete Kraft of the Gospel Way Baptist Church, giving you the advice to keep looking up as a Christian, because Jesus may come today. May God bless you, is our prayer.